Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung, and his title is Say What You Pray. Before you get back into it, do you want to give us your Rumble handle and any other?
Yeah, we can do that. So we have a Rumble channel. You can get that either on your Apple iPhone or iPad. Also, the Google Play Store, I believe it's on there. And then also on the Roku. They have apps for the Rumble. My handle on there is Firewalker77. Just look for the big bearded guy. I have a really funny picture of him. My beard's blowing. I think I was riding down the road being free. So that's where we post. So we do weekly meetings here in Elk City. You guys are always welcome to join those as well. We meet in our home as of now until we get the building finished up. And we just do Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8. But those are recorded, and that's what we post each week there on the Rumble channel. So that is always there for you to go back. If you can't make those meetings live, then definitely go back and check those out. And I was actually looking the other day, and we actually have over 25 different teachings already up on there. I was like, dang, man, this is cool. So it's a good library to go back, and I try to tag those in. You know, if there's specific scripture that you're looking at, we've kind of got those different books that we've gone through over the last few months there. But, yeah, you guys go check that out on Rumble. So we're going to go look into – let's go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, verse 19. So when we're looking at this, again, when we're looking at our prayer lives, it's a choice, right? Praying, saying what I'm praying, I continually have to choose that. Because if I'm not careful, I'll let life and circumstance show up, and then I'll let it sway my attitude. I'll let it sway my verbiage, the ways that I'm acting, the ways that I'm saying things, right? And one of the things, I love this in here. So this is a little bit, this is the context of Deuteronomy 30. We're going to go down to verse 19. So this, you know, when we go back in here, we're looking at the children of Israel. And God's just speaking to them here. And one of the things he says, today, in verse 19, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. And then he says, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Like, what if we really thought about that? If we kept the context of that on our hearts before we ever spoke a word. Understand that I have a choice between life and death, between a blessing or a cursing. Not only that, but heaven and earth are called as a witness to what you choose. That's accountability, isn't it? That's an accountability that I think is necessary in our lives. And he does continues to encourage there, oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving your God, obeying him, and committing yourself to him firmly. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord has swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, this was directed towards the children of Israel in this moment. But again, what I know from the heart of the Father in the context of Scripture is that God is no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if he'll do it for you, guess what? He'll do it for me too. Mm-hmm. If he'll do it for me, guess what? He'll do it for you too. So in those places, when we find these places in Scripture where it's kind of a blanket, right? Choose life. And know that heaven and earth are watching. Why? Because what comes from your mouth will produce a fruit in your life. And there are witnesses that are to that. Heaven and earth itself are witness to that. And again, in that place, when we look at Daniel and what happened, heaven was at witness to, okay, Daniel had humbled himself in this way and made requests before God, and God sent the answer in that way. But again, there was a period of wait. There was this time frame that he must remain faithful to choosing life, right? Not death. Choosing the blessing, not the curse. Not looking at the situation and thinking, where's God at? Man, it's been how long since I prayed that prayer? But getting in that space of just saying, God, this is what I'm asking you for. I'm not leaving. I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I'm holding on to this. Why? Because I see this is according to your will in your word. I see this is according to your heart. And I just ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ, that you would move in this, whatever the situation is, right? And allow God to do that in your life in a way. And what I've learned, even in those places, you will learn things that you didn't even know you needed to know mm-hmm. in the wait, right? In the wait. And just a personal testimony here in this place. There was a long time ago in my life that I was separated in relationship with my kids, with two of my girls. And it has been over 20 years since that has happened. And I still do not have an established relationship with my girls that I would like. But God has taught me so many things in the wait, right? And what I'm here to testify today, I don't care that it's been over 20 years. I have not changed my prayer, not one time. I have not let go of the fact that I know God desires and his heart is reconcile that which is broken, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the very thought of Jesus sending his son to die on a cross to reconcile relationship that was lost shows me his heart, you know? And so in that, in my life, does it mean that there wasn't struggles along the way? No. I lost focus along the way. There was places where I allowed the circumstance and the weight of what I was missing to become overwhelming in my life. But again, that's why it's so important to see the truth of the word and look at these stories. That's why these stories are recorded, so we can look back and say, this is who God was here. Guess what? That's who God can be here too, you know? So again, there's no time frame. There's no stamp of time that we can put when we request or we petition God for something in our lives. Because this, for me, is one of the biggest things in my life. That's a relationship with my kids, you know? That's not one of these, I just need some water, Dad. It's one of those things that moves the very heart of me, that goes to the core of who I am. My relationship with my kiddos. And I totally believe that there will be a restoration that can only come from God through that. And I won't let it go until it happens, mm-hmm. right? And then I will look again and I will say, thank you. You are a faithful God, right? I see how you were faithful through the men and the women for thousands of generations through the word. And I thank you, God, that you're that same God for me. And that's what I have to do. And even in that place, sometimes I got to go back and talk that way to get my own focus back where it needs to be. You know, because there'll be times that I might see them in passing or get to see them for a moment. But my heart longs for a deep relationship, but I just don't have that yet, you know? But so just as an encouragement to you guys out there, I don't know what situations that you guys are all going through, but I know each and every one of us, because as I read again, according to the word, we weren't promised an easy, cheesy peasy life just because we said yes to Jesus, right? Mm-mm. But you know what we were promised? Peace in the midst of all of that other, because life is going to show up, right? It's going to happen. It's going to hurt. It's going to bring things against you. And those are the places that we have to make sure in our petitions before God, even in that, because those are the moments we're just speaking life, you know, our everyday. When life is just happening, we're just speaking. We're just going on about our daily business. But again, always make sure that that speech always matches up with the same speech that's happening in your closet. Otherwise, your prayers aren't going much past the closet ceiling, right? Because you're nullifying that through the words that you speak. Mm-hmm. You're casting those things out of your mouth. You're planting seeds that are going to bring forth fruit that don't agree with the fruit in your closet. And that's so important in our lives. And I even understand, like, that had become so just part of, even I even look at just Western Oklahoma culture, man. Walk down through the aisle of Walmart, and you can simply look over somebody you might not even know, or maybe you know them, acquaintance, you haven't seen them in a while. Hey, how are you? You're going to get it, right? You're going to get just how they are in those moments. And if it's life and circumstance that's heavy and hard right now, guess what? They're going to give it to you. And we have to be careful in those places. And I've even had these conversations with people. You know, they'll say, well, what if I am going through the hard of life? You know, what if I am experiencing those things? I understand that. But again, we must be careful about the things that we say. Make sure that everything that you say is still in pursuit of the answer of what you brought in prayer before God, right? Because I can't go in there and say, God, if I'm having health issue, I can't go in there and say, God, I thank you for healing my body. I thank you that according to your word, we see that by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And then go out there and tell people, oh, yeah, it's hurting me every day. I can't get any sleep at night. We're just speaking all these things. Because when you speak those things, guess what? You're planting, right? Mm-hmm. You're planting. But how can we transition our speech from those places? Because sometimes, you know, I even get people get into like, that sounds weird. It's almost like you're lying to somebody. It's not lying. It's speaking those things that are not as though they are, right? And if you can't do that without feeling weird, then just keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about it, mm-hmm. right? Until you can learn to speak in a way. Because what I do in those places, well, how's it going, man? It's, you know, it hadn't been the easiest, but I thank God that he's faithful to his word. You know, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm kind of going through some situation, but you know, I've been spending time with the Father, and I'm thankful that he's going to move in, and I'm not letting go of what I'm asking him for in the closet. And you know what? Would you mind joining with me and asking God, would you come in agreement with my prayer to ask God for what's going on in my life? Is there anything that I can come in agreement with you about what's going on in your life? You see how that conversation just went from, how's it going? Well, you know, so you just totally shifted around to something that is building up and edifying and walking in relationship with God. And not only that, but building up your fellow man, you know, mm-hmm. Changing the way that we speak about those things will change what you see in your life. And like, people do not understand that. Go do a word search of the word tongue in the Bible and go do some research. The Bible talks a lot about your tongue, how it's something that cannot be tamed, right? And that is something, again, that we can look at in the natural. You know, I look at my wife's relationship. I'm one of those guys that, like, it goes through here quite a bit before I ever let it come out here. My wife is exactly the opposite. It just comes out, then she thinks about it. and that's something that, you know, we kind of balance each other out in that. Because in that place, sometimes she's just like, oh, I shouldn't have spoke so quickly in that place. But again, we can encourage each other there. And I even think that's funny how God does that. You know, he just puts people together of different characteristics. Why? So they can help each other out. So they can complement one another in that way. Because some of us are, some of us are quicker to speak. Some of us are a little slower to speak. But in those places, let's make sure that whichever we are, that when we speak, we're speaking the things that God has to say. And we're not speaking out of just our experiences or our circumstance or the feelings that are happening in the midst of those things. Let's make sure that we're agreeing with the word of God. So I got a couple more scriptures we want to look at too. We'll go read this one. I've already quoted it, but let's go to Proverbs 18 and 21. I just want to get it directly from the Bible. Just so you guys know where this is at. Proverbs 18 and 21, and I'll just read that. In the New Living Translation, it says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." Consequences. Some people look at that word as a negative, right? Consequences aren't always negative. Understand that when you sow something, if you sow good, the consequences of sowing good are good. If you speak death, or if you're speaking negativity, the consequences of that speech are negativity or death, mm-hmm. right? The consequence is only the result of. That's all that means. But I know a lot of times, even in my childhood, you hear the word consequences, you're like, oh, shoot, I'm in trouble now. Mm-hmm. right? It's not about being in trouble. It's about what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. That's the consequence of the situation. So you, with your tongue, you can bring what? Death or life. You have that choice. And then I want to give you a little encouragement here in Mark 11 and 24. Now, this is Jesus talking. This is red letter here. And he was speaking to his disciples in this place. Again, don't just go in and read these one-liners. Get in and get the context of what we're talking about here. But we're going to hone in on 24. He says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it's yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." I want to talk about this a little bit. Forgive to get forgiven, right? Sometimes if you just read that as a one-liner, you'll misunderstand the heart of the Father. Because understand, forgiveness is yours. If you accepted Jesus Christ, every sin that you did, doing, or gonna do, done, right? God's already forgiven that. So it's not a matter of works to, oh, I must forgive to get the forgiveness. I must accept Jesus to get the forgiveness. But this is a greater call. Also, now, because I have received such a free gift, I must give it away, right? That is part of what that brings into my life. Because I receive, now I'm going to freely give as well. Because it was a free gift that I received, the salvation from God, the forgiveness of my sins. So therefore, I must give as well. Don't look at this and think, oh, this gets me into a works mentality where I have to keep forgiving to make sure that I'm getting forgiven. No, you are forgiven. Now walk out your freedom in forgiveness and doing mm-hmm. what? Giving that same forgiveness away. Do not hold a grudge against anyone, because holding grudge against someone will hinder your prayer, right? Because in that place, you are holding someone hostage inside and not giving them the freedom. What does the word say about freedom? He that the Son sets free is what? Free, right? So if you are free, you must give free to. Mm-hmm. We have to. That's what we're called to in our life. And one more two. Where are we at? John 15, 16. I think that's the only one we haven't got to. John 15, verse 16. "You didn't choose me." This is Jesus again speaking. "I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. This is my command, love each other." So again, he doesn't mention specifically prayer, but he says so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Well, what do you ask when you're asking the Father for something? What are you doing? Prayer. Mm-hmm. That's the simplicity of prayer. It's just making a petition. It's just asking God, bringing your request before God, and understanding, even in those moments, you didn't choose him. He chose you. But not only when he chose you, he appointed you to do what? Produce lasting fruit. And again, when we're talking about the tongue and our speech and our words, lasting fruit comes from where? Your mouth. Mm-hmm. As we speak forth the truth, guess what? As I said, you're planting seeds from your mouth. Those things are going to bear fruit, right? And the fruit that we want is the lasting fruit, because the fruit that doesn't last is the negative stuff. Right? It doesn't last. All of those things will pass away. We see it when the end, all things are made right, right? So all the things that are not of the Father or in the negative space, they will not exist anymore. So therefore, the things that we speak, God is calling our lives to through our praying, through our saying, is what? Things that produce the lasting fruit for Him. So in this place, we must look at that. And then at the end of that, and I love this too, because it's always about this. What's His command at the end? Love each other. It's always about love.
Mm-hmm.
If your heart is always positioned in a place of love, which is from God Himself, right? Because God is love, and now He's inside of who you are. So allow His Spirit to even speak through you. And I don't have a lot of time today to go into looking into a prayer, but just real quickly, we have two types of prayer as a Christian. And I know even that it could be a controversial subject when it comes to that. But basically, we have English and we have not English, right? Mm-hmm. We have the natural, we have the supernatural. So when I'm talking in just the natural, that's my English language or whatever language that you speak in, that's my natural language. But God has also given us a spiritual language that comes from the Spirit that is within inside of us. And as the Word talks about that, it's a groaning, right? But it says in that place when the Spirit is in prayer in us, and just the layman's term or the common term that we say that is speaking in tongues, right? In prayer time with that, it says that the Holy Spirit prays the exact thing that needs to be prayed for that situation, right? And again, I know, in talking about my own personal testimony earlier in that place, there have been times that the weight of that situation were so heavy on my heart, I couldn't formulate words in the natural. I just couldn't. I didn't even know what to say, right? I was overwhelmed by the emotions, by the feelings, and all of those things that were going on in my life. I didn't know what to say, but thank God He gave me a spirit that could speak the right thing at the right time at the right place, right? And so what do I do in those places? I lean to the Spirit in that. And that's my encouragement for you guys too, because I know this is something in denomination. Some agree, some do not. All I tell you in those places is quit worrying about what the denomination says and go to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we see its truth. So go to the Word of God and see what it has to say about the speaking of tongues and what that looks like in your life. And for me, that is such a powerful tool that God has given us. Because again, like I said, there have been so many times in my life where just life and circumstances showed up and was so heavy. I would go and sit in my closet and I would shut the door and I would just, I don't even know what to say. I'm just here, you know? And then in that moment, just begin to speak in that tongue that God, only God can give you. And it is such a time of refreshing, you know, and what the Word says in that is it builds up and it edifies you. And that is so true, because I know when I walked into that closet, it was all about the feeling and the emotion and life and circumstance. But when I walked away from that closet, I was refreshed and I was built up. I was strengthened once again to keep going, right? Mm-hmm. To pursue on and allow God to just bring peace to my heart yet again, because I lost my focus yet for a minute in that place. And I want you guys to understand that's part of it. It's okay, right? It's okay to experience the feeling and emotion, but we cannot live there. We cannot stay in that place, because God created us emotional beings. Now, we don't use that as an excuse to say, well, God made me this way in my emotion, because those emotions that you got came from your Adam nature, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that need to be renewed now in the Spirit of Christ, because that old guy died and now you're walking in something new. So we have to cultivate new emotion and the way that we walk through the emotion that we feel. And thank goodness for God and His mercy and His strengthening. I'm reminded again as we look back in that story of Daniel. Go read that whole story in Daniel 10. He talks about in a moment his flesh was just overwhelmed. And it says that he reached out and he touched him and he was strengthened in his flesh. And that is such a good picture of what we see in the spiritual realm when we just go set aside time with God. It's a moment for God to come and touch us and refresh, to revive our bodies, right, in that way. And, I mean, I can tell you I've been there 100 times in my lifetime just thanking. I'm so thankful to God for the strengthening that He can provide in times when the flesh is weak. You know, and there's even a scripture that says that when the flesh is weak, guess what? That's when He is strong. Mm-hmm. That's when He's your strength. So sometimes we want to beat ourselves up and say, oh, I'm weak. instead of recognizing that's a place of comfort. Why? Because when you're weak, Christ is strong inside of you, right? So you're not in a moment of weakness in him. You're actually in a moment of strength in him because of the weakness of your flesh. So that's not a bad thing. So yet, that's what I got today. I just want to encourage you guys, again, just kind of wrap this up. Make sure that those things that you're taking before your Father align with the heart of God, right? Get into the Word. Understand his heart. Take your prayers and petitions before God. Always in a place of thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. Always being thankful to everything that God has provided. But then asking for the things that you're needing in your life. And then make sure as you walk from that place, you continue through your speech, through your thought, through your action to continue that pursuit of what God has for the situation and remain in the wait until God shows up and brings your answer. Amen.
Amen.
I have one more prayer request. Let's pray for Rachel Jones, who's going through some stuff right now.
Okay. So, Father, we just lift up Rachel. Father, you know her situation. And Father, I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be a comfort to her right now. Father, I also ask that you would be an encourager, God, in this time, in this situation. And Father, I just thank you for building her up in spirit. Father, when in this moment where her flesh might be weak, Father, I thank you for the strength that can only come from you. God, you know every detail of the situation. And Father, you already have the answer. And so, Father, as she spends time before you in petition and asking, God, strengthen her in the time until the answer arrives for her in Jesus' name.
Amen. We appreciate you coming to share. This has been a good word. Very powerful.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys today.
And the way I see it, if we're talking negative on what we're praying for, we're just canceling it out.
Yeah. Got to be in agreement.
And we need to be more mindful of what we speak into other people's situations, too. We've been kind of talking about our mouths in our Bible study, Tuesday Bible studies, about how if we're speaking God's words, we can dispatch angels to take care of situations.
Right.
But if we're speaking the ugly stuff, we can dispatch demons to torment people at the same time. So.
Right. I don't want to be doing that business.
Our words have power. They do. And I don't want to make people's lives worse than they already are.
Right.
When I'm praying for them. So. Right. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our brother in Christ, Jason Mung, y'all have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.